Please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 4 this morning, verses 1 through 22. Our message series is called Church on the Move. We're looking at the early church in the book of Acts and how the early church grew, how it expanded. And well, we saw in chapters 1 and 2 of Acts, you know, how the church had unprecedented success and was just growing by leaps and bounds. And but then as we enter chapters 3 through 5, the church encounters opposition for the first time, and we're finding out that that opposition is largely based all around the name of Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about this morning, is the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to read verses 10 through 12 as we get started. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Picking up in verse 10, the Apostle Peter is speaking here. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, and he's speaking of Jesus here, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look at these verses and the passage surrounding it, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, encourage us. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, give us the boldness and the courage we need to be good witnesses for our Lord Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So why is it that we are sometimes afraid to witness for Jesus? Right? I mean, we love Jesus. We know that Jesus has changed our life. We know that Jesus has brought us salvation. We know that other people need Jesus. Why are we so afraid to witness for him? Of course, there are a number of reasons. Sometimes we're afraid we won't know what to say. That's where it's good to get some training, right? Sometimes we're afraid of saying the wrong thing. Sometimes we're afraid they might ask a question we don't know how to answer. But probably the main reason we are afraid is because we don't want to offend anyone. We are afraid to witness for Jesus because we know that people may get offended. Now, we're right in the middle of a healing story in the book of Acts. It began all the way back, beginning of chapter 3. Peter and John healed the beggar outside the temple. This man who had been lame from birth then entered the temple with Peter and John. He was walking and leaping, praising God in the temple, right? This drew a crowd. So Peter addressed the people. This is what we looked at last week. And he told them, hey, it's all about Jesus. That's what his message was last week. It's all about Jesus. Now, the healing may have caught the people's attention, but it is Peter's preaching here that catches the leaders, the religious leaders' attention. And it is the name of Jesus that really causes the offense. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. And so we're going to look at three aspects of Jesus' name from our text this morning. There's an outline in your worship guide. I encourage you to take that out to follow along. You'll find all three there, but I'll tell you up front what they are. No other name brings such offense. Number two, no other name brings God's salvation. Number three, no other name is worthy of your deepest loyalty and praise. So let's get started. First, no other name brings such offense. And it seems that you can talk freely about other religious faiths or other religious figures, but the moment you bring up the name of Jesus, people get offended. That's exactly what happens to Peter and John here. Look at verses 1 through 3. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. When you speak the name of Jesus, okay? When you speak the name of Jesus, four things are bound to happen. Four things. First of all, you will catch people's attention. Guaranteed. You will catch people's attention. You ever notice when you're talking with someone in a public place, maybe in a cafe or a restaurant or maybe in a train, and you're just talking, nobody pays any attention. Nobody's listening to you. But if you suddenly start talking about Jesus, right? All of a sudden, the name of Jesus comes. Watch what happens. All of a sudden, you notice people are listening in, right? They start tuning in all over the place. Why is that? Because when you speak the name of Jesus, you catch people's attention, for good or for ill. And in this case, Peter and John, they're speaking the name of Jesus. They caught the attention of the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees. Interesting, not the Pharisees here, but the Sadducees. You know, most of the opposition to Jesus and the Gospels came from the Pharisees, right? It was always Jesus and the Pharisees. Most of the opposition to the Gospel in the book of Acts comes from the Sadducees. We've got a new group in town, right? Well, who are the Sadducees? They were a wealthy ruling class that collaborated with Rome. They were often called conservative because they rejected oral teachings, but I tend to think of them more as the liberal theologians of their day, because unlike the Pharisees, they were not looking for the Messiah. Unlike the Pharisees, they didn't believe in the resurrection or angels or demons or anything supernatural. But this is the first thing that happens when you speak the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is like a lightning rod. When you speak the name of Jesus, you will catch people's attention, guaranteed. Next, some people will get upset, okay? Hate to say it, but some people will get upset. The religious leaders were upset. Why? Because the apostles were teaching the people about Jesus and the resurrection. Now, if they'd just been teaching about the Jewish law or talking about the weather, right, there wouldn't have been any problem. It was the name of Jesus that disturbed them. Not everyone is happy when you speak the name of Jesus. It seems people are more than happy just to talk about God, right? God in general. Yeah, we'll talk about God or church or prayer. But when you bring up the name of Jesus, watch out. I've had more than one conversation shut down when I've brought up the name of Jesus. When praying in public situations, as a pastor, I'm sometimes asked to pray, but I've even been asked on occasion, even though I'm a pastor and they know I'm a pastor of a Christian church, I've even been asked on occasion not to pray in Jesus' name. They said, will you pray? I said, oh, I'd be glad to. Well, but don't pray in Jesus' name, because some people might get offended. Not everybody here is a Christian. And I always explain to them, I said, I would be glad to pray, but I've got to pray in Jesus' name. It's the only way I can pray. It's the only way I know how to pray. I can't pray without Jesus, so I'm certainly not going to leave out his name. People will get upset. Thirdly, you may suffer persecution. The religious leaders were so upset that they seized Peter and John, threw them in the jail. Now, you may or may not get arrested when you speak the name of Jesus. But you may get mocked, ridiculed, shut down, or left out of certain social situations. It could cause a rift in your family. It may hurt your chances of advancement at work. You could possibly lose your job. But you know what? It's worth it. It is worth it because others will be saved. And that's what we see in verse 4, right? But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Wow, we already saw how over 3,000 people came to the Lord after Peter's first gospel message. And now, you know, what started out as really a small group of believers in the beginning of Acts, it's just continuing to grow. Why? Because nothing can stop the gospel. Nothing can stop the gospel, but you cannot share the gospel without speaking the name of Jesus. And so when you speak the name of Jesus, you'll catch people's attention. Some people will get upset. You may suffer persecution, but it's worth it because others will be saved. And that leads us to our second point this morning. No other name brings God's salvation. Yes, no other name brings such offense, but also there is no other name that brings salvation. And there are several things for us to consider here. First, the Bible teaches us that as Christians, we should always be prepared to give an answer. Always be prepared. Look at verses 5 through 7 next. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? And so that's a whole group of very powerful people who gathered together in the morning. This is quite the assortment. You've got the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law, basically the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, consisting of the high priest and 70 other members. In fact, you actually have two high priests here. You have Annas, he's the previous high priest, sort of the high priest emeritus, right? And then you have Caiaphas, who's the current high priest, and he brings members of his family along. And you may remember Annas and Caiaphas, they were directly involved in Jesus' trial in the Gospels. And this group of leaders, 70 or more, they all would have sat in a semicircle with the accused, in this case Peter and John, just standing in the middle of them, looking around. So just think how Peter and John would have felt. Think how you would have felt. This is the same group of people who tried Jesus and condemned him to death. That session also took place in the morning. What would be their fate? And notice what the leaders focus on when they question Peter and John. They ask them, by what power or name did you do this? They're not denying the fact that a miracle took place. Rather, they are questioning the source. By what power? By what name? And once again, it's all about the name. It all comes back to the name of Jesus. So what would you do if you were dragged before the authorities and questioned about using the name of Jesus? I hope you would be prepared to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That's how you prepare yourself. Set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You never know when you're going to be asked, so you need to be prepared to give an answer. And then when you are questioned or you are given an opportunity to witness, be bold. Be bold and trust God. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Look what happens next, verses 8 through 11. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, and here he quotes from the Old Testament, Psalm 118, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. So Peter addresses the council. He exposes their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy in being upset over the healing of a man who had been lame. He boldly proclaims the name of Jesus. He addresses their responsibility in Jesus' death and proclaims that God raised Jesus from the dead. He gives Jesus all the glory for the healing. And then he quotes Scripture, Psalm 118, verse 22. Quote Scripture, knowing the power of God's word to present the truth and to convict hearts of sin. So you read this and you ask the question, well, who's on trial here? I mean, who's really on trial? The religious leaders think that they are trying Peter and John, but Peter turns the tables and he levels the charges against them instead. The Sanhedrin expected a defense, but Peter gave them a sermon. You got to ask, Peter's just a fisherman. Where did he get the power and the wisdom to speak like this? Bible tells us from the Holy Spirit, right? Before Peter speaks a single word, Luke tells us he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The tense of the verb in the original language tells us that this was a special infilling of the Holy Spirit, empowering him to witness. We're supposed to be constantly filled with the Spirit. But when God has something for you to do, what does he do? He gives you an extra filling of the Spirit to do what he's called you to do. And that same power that was available to Peter is available to you today. Same power, same Spirit. Jesus said this in the Gospel of Luke. He said, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, or your neighbor, or your coworker, or your friend, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And so when you speak up for Jesus, right, you send up a quick prayer, you just open your mouth and you go for it. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. When I was a senior in high school, the administration at our school did really a wonderful thing for the students. They conducted a series of interviews one-on-one with graduating seniors to help us prepare for college interviews or job interviews. And they brought us in one at a time. They interviewed us just to give us the experience of talking before a group of people. It wasn't really one-on-one. It was a whole group. I still remember it was my turn. I walked in, and there was the principal, the vice principal, several teachers, administrators from the school sitting in a semicircle with me sitting in the middle. They asked me a number of questions about classes and activities and outside interests. And then they asked me this question. Who do you admire most in the world and why? And I knew immediately what I needed to answer, but I didn't know how to do it. And so I asked God to give me the right words. And he did. I asked them if this person could be either dead or alive. They said it didn't matter. It could be someone dead from the past. They could be someone who's alive today. So I told them, then I choose someone who is alive. The person I admire most in the world is Jesus Christ. And the reason why I admire him is because he willingly died on the cross for all our sins. And then he rose from the dead and he is living today. When you are questioned or given the opportunity to witness, be bold and trust God. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. That's Jesus' promise to you. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke boldly to the gathered council, but then he spoke the most important truth of all, that salvation is found only in the name of Jesus. Verse 12, this is our memory verse for next time too. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Folks, this is a big verse in Scripture, okay? Salvation is found in no one else except Jesus. There's no other name under heaven. That means in all of creation, throughout all of history, there is no other name but the name of Jesus by which we must be saved. Jesus said the same thing. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So notice, Peter did not shy away from the name of Jesus. He had set apart Christ as Lord in his heart, and he was prepared to give an answer. He was bold in his speech. He trusted the Holy Spirit to give him the right words to say. And he proclaimed what is probably the most offensive truth about Jesus to people in the world today. The truth that there is no other name. Salvation is found only in the name of Jesus. No other name brings such offense. No other name brings God's salvation. And then finally, no other name is worthy of your deepest loyalty and praise. And when you take a stand for Jesus, when you do that, four things are going to happen in your life. Track with me now through this. First of all, people will take note of your courage. They'll take note of your courage. Look at verses 13 and 14. When they, the council, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Peter and John weren't anyone special. They had just been with Jesus. That's what the council noticed. These men had been with Christ. That's your secret. Spend time with Jesus. You don't need to be exceptional or educated to be a witness for Jesus. You just need to open your mouth, right? And it's scary at first. And people may not like it, but they will take note of your courage. Back to high school, I was active in witnessing as a student in school and took a lot of flack for it. Got teased, mocked, bullied, called names, walking down the hall, get called names, Jesus freak. But a funny thing happened when it came to graduation and yearbook time. And a number of people who had teased me, some of those who teased me the worst, wrote in my yearbook, they said they were sorry. And they said they respected my courage in speaking out about my faith. When you take a stand for Jesus, people will take note. And they may not like what you're saying. And they may not say it at the time, but they will respect you. They will take note of your courage. Secondly, when you take a stand for Jesus, people may try to stop you from further witnessing. You see this in verses 15 to 17. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. Sounds like they would have liked to, but we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. So this is their big plan. I'm going to tell the apostles, you are not allowed to speak to anyone. Not just in the temple, but anyone. Just a friend, a neighbor. You can't speak to anyone in this name. There's a villain in a fantasy series who is often referred to as he who must not be named. Some of you know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say his name because he is he who must not be named, okay? Now, that's okay for a villain in a story. But too often, Jesus is treated in our society as he who must not be named. When you take a stand for Jesus, people may try to stop you from further witnessing. That's what all the teasing and the mocking is about. People are just trying to shut you up. Of course, that's nothing compared to those countries where it is illegal to witness, where people are persecuted, where you can be fined or even put in prison for speaking Jesus' name. People will try to stop you. How about witnessing in the workplace? What if you're told not to witness at work? Here you need to use wisdom. You need to be careful to choose the right times to witness. If you're witnessing when you're supposed to be working, then you're not being a good witness anyways, okay? So work when you're supposed to work, but find other ways to share your faith. Maybe put a Bible or a Christian book on your desk as a way to spark a conversation. Look for opportunities to talk with others during their breaks. My father worked for GTE Sylvania for his whole career. He started a lunchtime Bible study. Everybody was on break. A bunch of men would come and they'd study the Bible together during lunch. It was his way of witnessing. Don't be obnoxious about your faith, but don't be silent either. People need Jesus, and so we need to witness. It's that simple. And when people try to stop you from witnessing, resolve to obey God rather than man. Look at verses 18 through 20. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." The religious leaders warned them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus, not to teach at all in the name of Jesus. This was a legal warning levied on them in the presence of witnesses. This means that the very next time they spoke in Jesus' name, they could be punished for disobeying. So Peter and John, they've got a choice here now, right? They can either obey God or man. They choose God. And I love how they turn the question back on their accusers. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, right? I mean, really, how can you respond to that? What can you say? I also love how they say, "For we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." And oh, how I wish this was only true of the church today. Oh, if we could only not help ourselves. I just can't help from about speaking about Jesus. Can't help myself. We would truly be a church on the move. So we have this command from God to witness. What do you do when people try to stop you from witnessing? You resolve to obey God rather than man. Then finally, know that your loyalty to Jesus will bring great praise to God. Look at our last two verses. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. It's interesting when you contrast the courage of Peter and John, two guys, with the Sanhedrin, 70 plus, and the Sanhedrin's fear of the people. The leaders really want to punish them, but they can't. They're afraid of the people. All the people are praising God for the healing. And this truly was an amazing miracle. The man was over 40 years old. He'd been lame from birth. Everybody knew it. Now he's walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. So take heart, because when you take a stand for Jesus, your loyalty to Jesus will bring great praise to God. We are often afraid to witness for Jesus because we know that people may get offended. But there's no other name like the name of Jesus. There's no other name that brings God salvation. That's the main reason for the offense. Right? If Jesus were just one religious option among many, if he were just one item on the menu from which you could pick and choose, there would be no offense. But because he is the only way to salvation, that's what brings the offense. In summary, when you witness for Jesus, some people may get upset. You may even suffer persecution, but other people will be saved. So as a Christian, don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to share your faith with others at work or at home or school, wherever God gives you the opportunity. We should always be prepared to give an answer. Be bold. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Resolve to obey God rather than man, knowing that your loyalty to Jesus will bring great praise to God. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. No other name brings such offense. No other name brings God's salvation. And no other name is worthy of your deepest loyalty and praise. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the boldness of Peter and John. And we thank you for the example that they set for us. Lord, help us to be bold. Too often we're afraid that people will get offended, and so we don't speak up when we could. Lord, I pray that you would give us that courage. Give us that boldness. And Lord, give us that opportunity today, this week. Help us to be looking for it. When it comes, help us to maybe take that step that we haven't done before and just to speak up and just say, well, I believe in Jesus. And then you'll give us the rest of the words to say. You've promised. And yeah, some people may get upset. Oh, but Lord, when we get to the one who says, I want to know more, and they pray to trust you, Lord, and they're saved for all of eternity, then there's no turning back. You've set us free to be witnesses for you for life. And we are a church on the move for Jesus Christ. Help us with these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.